Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. Today on CICK News, Red Eagle Feather, or Kevin Brown, is the Climate Action Coordinator for Old Masset. His experience working for the band, Old Masset Village Council, and the Council of the Haida Nation Senior Government in the past 40 years, including Salmon Enhancement Manager, Economic Development Manager, and Lands Officer, have all helped prepare him for his new position, helping to build programs and infrastructure to ensure food sovereignty for the people of Haida Gwaii. Red Eagle Feather is on the news today to speak to me about the Old Masset Village Grocer, which are two modular buildings installed in Old Masset across from the Adult Day Center to grow hydroponic vegetables for the people of Old Masset. This project is funded by the Stronger BC Rural Provincial Development Program, which includes the purchase of the buildings from Grocer, a Canadian company that builds these modular buildings in Manitoba, training for staff, and startup money to get the grocer off the ground. At this time, the buildings are in place and waiting for a hydro hookup, but members of Old Masset could be eating healthy, locally grown greens by this winter.
My name is Kevin Brown, and I'm a climate action coordinator for Old Masset, which is basically a community energy champion. And we look at things, anything related to energy, domestic or feed, and then demand side management on buildings and homes, as well as food sovereignty initiatives.
Yeah, and we've got a pretty exciting initiative, food-based initiative to speak about, which is the grocer trailers. So can you tell me just a little kind of nuts and bolts? What are they going to grow and who's going to maintain these two trailers?
Okay, sure. Thank you. I started my position in 2019, and then I was looking on a webpage on ICE, Indigenous Clean Energy, a national program, and they had an advert for grocer as one of their vendors. And so I followed up on that and looked at it, and it looked really awesome to be able to grow hydroponics all year round in any climate. We live in a temperate zone, and growing is seasonal. We get really long days in the spring and summer, really short winters. So we need to mitigate that by other measures like heat and lighting in greenhouses, which we're pursuing as well. And at the time, the model they had would be producing 400 plants a week up and running. And then since then, they've upgraded, and we were declined the first application for funding. And then following year 2021, we were asked to resubmit, but then they had upgraded their model to 600 plants a week, which is awesome. So we had to adjust our funding accordingly. And the notion is to hire two people full time and expand the project as much as it can expand, exist where it is existing, and grow greens all year round. So looking forward to that. We're getting so close.
And I wonder if you could tell me how this will affect the lives of people in Old Masset.
I'm Johnny come lately to this, as the high school has hydroponics and a greenhouse, and our elders' building has a greenhouse as well. So over the 10 years, they've changed the landscape of how we're eating in Old Masset through lunch programs, senior programs, and switching. So it was really refreshing to go back to the high school and visit the science teacher and see them in the lunchroom eating greens. When I was there, it was pizza for lunch, donuts for a recess.
Right.
And then at the elders' home, they were apprehensive that eating greens at first, until they actually got their hands dirty and started planting seedlings and that sort of thing. So then they wanted to taste the fruits of their labor. And today, that's where we are. People are eating much healthier. We are currently waiting for Hydro to install a transformer to ensure that we get our power needs. And that was part of the difficulty, is not being on the main grid of BC and being remote. So that definitely has its own challenges, for sure.
So you'd be looking for people to maintain the trailers, one for growing, and then I believe there's another trailer for packaging and selling. Are you looking for people with specific training or skills, or is that part of this program to empower people to learn this skill?
I think part of it is that just because of what the high school has been doing and teaching kids already, and I'm hoping to connect with the science teacher to see who has potential of doing this and have a green thumb.
Now, looking ahead, this is part of a trend for more sustainable food sovereignty for the people of Haida Gwaii. Where do you see this fitting into the greater scheme?
I think because of our remoteness, it's a long time coming just because of the state of the produce that comes here. I think if we were in the lower mainland like Vancouver, they wouldn't even put them on the shelf. And the cost of transportation. So the cost of food, you're not getting the best food because you're paying more. You're just getting it because of the transportation and how far it comes. And then on food sovereignty and food security itself, we don't know where the food is coming from and what chemicals go into these things. So I think the better we know what goes into it and the more organic you are, the better everybody is going to be. And there's definitely interest locally, for sure.
Have you been doing surveys to see what people want to eat and what they want to grow, or are you not at that community engagement process yet?
Oh, Grocer was actually really good about this. And since they've started, they've got about 55 different grocer setups around the country now, up in north, east, west. And they asked me to go into our co-op to see what kind of produce we were buying. And then they came up with a list from there. And then to train the new employees, they have something called Root Camp that they will send a couple of technicians to Ottawa because they'd have a full-blown setup with new plants, old plants. If they started here, we'd just be starting green. So they don't have any idea of harvesting or what and that sort of thing. So they'd have good hands-on of the whole process with a full-blown setup and then come back and then be in contact centrally with grocer to when to harvest this, when to plant this, that kind of thing. So it's a really cool model.
Yeah, absolutely. So
Yes.
this is really going to change the eating habits of a lot of people, just because now the doors are so much wider open for them.
Yes. I think it expands it because it's already in play in the transition with the existing growing. Because COVID gave us an opportunity to have a really good look at our food sovereignty, water sovereignty. So we talked about, we had webinars with our senior governments on where we see ourselves in 50 years. So it was a good visioning project. And then to look back on the history before we have the BC Ferries coming into Haida Gwaii 5 days a week. We used to have a freighter once a month. And so then we are much more self-reliant in terms of gardens and that sort of thing. So we're repeating history, repeating itself, I guess you would say.
Yeah, back to a simpler time.
Yes, I think it's applicable to any community like ours and temperate or even freezing and essential, especially First Nation communities, because it seems to me that we're all under the sort of the all in the same boat in terms of processed food and cheap pop and stuff like that. Like all the non-nutritional foods are cheap and accessible compared to the fruits and vegetables. So it definitely needs to be changes, and if we can grow it, then we should.
Absolutely. And once someone's figured it out and has a grasp on how it works for their community and maybe the specifics, that you can be more willing, or you have the information and the knowledge to be able to help another community that's remote, but perhaps with some similar temperate climate. And then you can
Yeah.
start affecting more of this change throughout communities throughout Canada and probably the rest of the world.
And that is happening right now with my title as climate action coordinators. I have peers on the North Coast, down to the Central Coast, down to Bella, and we share best practices.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking about this project with me.
Yes, very exciting. Thanks for inviting me.
Next on CICK News.
All right, round two. Octo 23, currently in the lead, representing Smithers. We have Samuel Pete.
Going first is awesome.
It is great. There's nobody watching you.
Nobody watching.
Ever.
Oh. Oh. Nice.
All right, next up on the tee, representing the Telco Octopus,
Telqua Ben Anderson.
The Canadian National Championship is Canada's premier national competition for the sport of disc golf, featuring the best men and women disc golfers competing not only from Canada, but from around the world. Starting tomorrow, September 13th, a handful of local disc golfers will compete in their respective age categories to represent the Bulkley Valley Disc Golf Association, as well as the Kitimat Disc Golf Association. This tournament is played on three courses over 3 days. It's a grueling gambit for the shoulders and elbows of these players, but the call of the chains is worth the sacrifice. I caught up with some local and regional players during the last tournament weekend in Smithers and Telqua before Nationals to talk about what's in the water in the Bulkley Valley that so many talented disc golfers are here and what they hope to achieve at the National Disc Golf Championship in Clearwater, BC this weekend.
Hi, I'm Glenn Ingram.
Okay, so you are one of, I think, 6 or 7 people that are headed to Nationals Clearwater for disc golf in September. Is this your first national tournament?
Yes, it is.
How are you feeling?
Kind of nervous, but also kind of excited, too. It's been on the bucket list for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What have you done to prepare for it?
I stepped up a lot of practice. I've been doing a lot more putting in the backyard, and I've been I've been watching a lot of disc golf on TV, which there's a lot to watch. But I've been also trying to recover from some injuries and basically keeping my fingers crossed, too, and hoping that I'm going to stay healthy between now and the start. And, I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Why do you think that the Bulkley Valley is sending so many players? Like, I mean, we're a small crew of people that play, but why do you think there's kind of so many people from the Bulkley Valley that are going?
There is a certain excitement about having the Nationals being held close-ish to Smithers. It's mm-hmm. the first time, I think, in 7 years that it's been in British Columbia. It's also a friend of mine who taught me to play the game turned pro last year, and he's going to be playing in the Nationals, so I'm actually looking forward to spending some time with him. I haven't really seen much of him over the last couple of years, so it'll be fun to actually play disc golf in a competitive way.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Ben Anderson, avid disc golf player, course builder, and general love of the flight of disc. I represent the Bulkley Valley Disc Golf Association, as well as the Telqua Octopus. Just finished up our annual UN tournament here at both the Ranger Park and Telqua courses here. And congratulations to the winner, Sam Peat. As far as an advantage and knowledge that I would have as a course designer for Skillhorn, yes, there is an advantage. There's an advantage through the repetition to which that I've played the course, as well as just knowing the lines to follow, the path with least resistance. So there is that advantage. However, the one thing I can say about disc golf is that every throw is going to be different. So as much as you have that knowledge in your backpack, you still have to throw the disc and throw it properly. So again, it just comes down to just like beat in that moment and try not to hit all the trees. I have competed in a national disc golf competition before. It was the last time that it was in BC. It was 2015 in Vancouver, and it was my first sanctioned professional disc golf event. So as far as easing into competitive play, I think that was probably the best thing to do. Amazing. Anytime you can be with other individuals that have a passion about something that you share, in this situation, it's disc golf, it just feels like community. It feels birds of a feather throwing discs at basket and that kind of community. Yeah, it's a great stage to really test what you're made of as a disc golfer. It's the best of the best is what comes out at Nationals. It's great. It hasn't been in BC since 2015, so it's a great opportunity to go and compete. The thing I'm hoping the most from the experience in Clearwater for the Canadian Nationals 2024 is, one, to leave it all there. A lot of time you play a game and you say to yourself, wow, if I did this shout or did that, or if I followed through, I don't want to have to second guess anything that I've done on the course while I'm there. So my hope is that when I approach each day at that course, I make the best choices and throw consistently awesome shots. In the bigger picture, I hope to come home as the MA40 national champion, because that would be a nice piece of hardware to have, not only in my home, but also as a representative of the Bulkley Valley.
Hi, I'm Jason Cathers here. I live in Kitimat, BC.
Okay. How do you feel about competing at the Nationals in Clearwater this year?
Oh, I'm super excited about it. Started playing disc golf in 2020. Kitimat built a beautiful course because of COVID that year. And yeah, I just fell in love with it. My wife and I play all the time. We bring our dogs out to the course. And yeah, now I'm competing at Nationals, 50 to 60-year-old category. And just really excited to meet new people and have a lot of fun and make a wonderful experience out of it.
How do you describe disc golf to people who don't know, or to people who call it frisbee golf?
I think disc golf, you know, I think a perfect example was when we first got into it. My wife and I used to do a date day once a month. And, you know, we went and played regular golf. Sometimes we do that on our date day. And we went to Terrace to play regular golf. You know, we rented a cart. We had our own clubs. You know, it was busy. There's tons of people there. There's people in front of us, people behind us. There's lawnmowers everywhere. And we, you know, paid $100 to play 9 holes. We finished that experience. We came back home to Kitimat. We grabbed our dogs and we played some disc golf. We had the whole course to ourselves. Our dogs are running around having a great time. And we had a great time. It's relaxed. We're in an old growth coastal rainforest. And it was like, what are we doing? This is free. And why spend money when this is so much more fun? Yeah. And that was kind of the clincher for us, is why we really love it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, what are some of the parts about competing in a national tournament that you're excited about or nervous about?
Oh, I mean, of course it's going to be nervous when I'm there. But for me, it's just, you know, in my category, I think there's 41 competitors from across Canada. And I'm just excited to meet new people and, you know, get to hear everybody's stories and experience. I don't really care how I place in the tournament. For me, it's just the experience and the fact that we have a great group here from Northwest BC coming. You know, we'll be able to, you know, hang out before the tournament, make some, you know, camping and disc golf memories. And it's just an opportunity for a little bit of a vacation.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
My name's Dean.
So have you ever competed in a national disc golf competition before?
No, this is the first one.
Okay, how do you feel about it?
Pretty stoked. It's going to be fun. Yeah, we're not too serious about it. We're just going to go for the experience and watch pros, and yeah, it's going to be pretty sweet.
Okay. What is it about this group and this area that breeds people that have that kind of competitive enough spirit to want to go to nationals, take it to nationals?
Well, probably because there's 2 courses here, and there's really not that many people actually that play disc golf, like good 20 or maybe 20 or 30 of us that are out there, but there's no one else on the courses, so we're always out there having fun. It's like a getaway, right? So I don't know. I don't really know why. We're all kind of crazy, you know? You know, it's a long way to go just to throw some frisbees in the park, but yeah, it's a good question.
Okay, what do you think is your best throw and best disc?
My best throw, like, that I ever had?
No, like, I mean, like, you're, like, kind of your signature. I think I know the answer to it.
Oh, my forehands, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Like, distance forehand?
Yeah. Well, all kinds of forehands, really. Yeah. I'm not that good at backhand. Mm-hmm. Well, for approach shots, for sure. But, yeah. You know, Floor, he was, like, the forehand guy, so.
Forehand.
You know, you forehand, and you watch that, and you're like, I want to throw like that. That looks cool.
And your favorite disc right now?
Oh, that's a good question. I got a disc called a Trace, and it's Streamline, which is an MVP brand. It's 11 speed, and it's, like, laser straight, and then it just hooks a little bit at the very end. So it's, you can use it in the woods or in wide open shots. So, yeah. Okay. That's a fun question.
Okay, thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Pam.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.